I'm going to read this text, and the title of this message will be The Proper Response to the Message of Christmas, especially highlighted by the shepherds and even Mary and all who were there. So let's read it together. English Standard Version is our choice of text. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Father, thank you for the way that you have orchestrated the record of the Nativity, the birth of Christ, especially in this Gospel of Luke, upon which we rely heavily to have a glimpse, a picture, an image of the glory of that day, of that time. And thank you that we can come this morning and sit under this passage and learn. I pray, Lord, that we will do that today, not just learn for learning's sake, but learning for transformation's sake. Help us, Lord, to be responders to the revelation of your word today, that we may become more genuine worshipers of you, praising and glorifying God for all we have heard and seen. Help us now, Lord, to attend to your word. In the name of Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. If I were to ask you, and I'm going to ask you, how have you just celebrated Christmas, or how are you celebrating Christmas? How would you answer? For those of us who are Christians here, which is the high majority of us who profess to be Christians, the way we have just celebrated Christmas should be a reflection of how we celebrate Christ, shouldn't it? Because after all, the birth of Christ is Christmas, at least to Christians. So when we celebrate this season, we celebrate the birth of Christ. He is always to be the central focus of our celebration. And since he is the central focus of our lives, how much more should he be central to Christmas? It's amazing how quickly things go up and down at Christmas, isn't it? When there's one, I think it was awarded the most festive house of Pacifica, according to the Tribune. It was one up on Big Bend Drive where all through December had all these huge balloons, the blow-up giant things that were like just a monstrosity on that hillside. But they were gone, I think, the next day. As soon as it was over, Christmas Day, down, gone, put it back in the garage for next year. And that's the way some people approach Christmas, isn't it? It's just in and out. Let's get it up and let's do it, and then good, we're done. Let's get on with, you know, the new year. We are not to get our lead or our example of how to celebrate this occasion from the world, are we? It doesn't mean we don't do nothing that the world does, because we can redeem Christmas, can't we? We should. While the world tries to pat it down and keep Jesus safe and distant, we, of all people, ought to celebrate more than ever, redeeming the things of what the world sees as celebratory and tie it into Christ. Because the world chooses to take the story of Christmas and its implications with plenty of room for doubt and skepticism, right? Would you agree? There's plenty of room for them to interpret its implications the way they feel they ought to. And that's what they do. We shouldn't be surprised at that. So they make the story of Christmas both fictional and non-fictional at the same time. They may not deny that Christ was born, but all the angel stuff, come on. And all this God stuff, that's where they can put that aside and just choose not to believe. To us, it is a heaven-sent message, isn't it? A deep spiritual message. So we have it's both a relational event happening to us because it affects us, but it's also a vertical where we look up to God. The world chooses to look at it on a horizontal level and just keep it peace on earth, goodwill to mankind. They choose that part. The angels proclaimed that the birth of Christ was good news of great joy. For who? All people. For all people. So if we can proclaim that every year, at a time when the unbelieving world is attempting to be in a spirit of joy and peace on earth, then we should consider this as an opportunity to be taken. So I'm asked again, how have you just celebrated this time of Christmas? Not just in the externals, but especially in your heart of hearts. That part that nobody sees. The narrative of Luke, I believe, that we just read, well, we know that I said last week that Luke himself, he has the most comprehensive narrative account of the birth of Christ, and we're grateful to him for that by the Spirit. He has also told us at the beginning of his gospel that this is an orderly account and one that he has taken great pains to make it accurate so that we can know for certainty the truth that is being told. And he's addressing this to a particular person called Theophilus. We now get to read it by extension of it being the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at this narrative that we read today, this section from 15 to 20, focusing on the responses of the shepherds, especially, and Mary, in part, to how they responded to the message that they received from the messengers, the angels. I think there are some aspects of their response that should help us not only say, well, this is how we should celebrate Christmas, but this is how we should celebrate Christ, ongoing. So verse 14 through 20, which is, or 8 through 14, which Omar read partly, I looked at that as it was the messengers and their message. The angels, the messengers, they gave a message to the shepherds. We'll look at that a little bit as we look at the second part, but what we're going to look at is the recipients and their response. The recipients of the message and their response to that message. So kids, this is where you can do your part too, of draw your little picture of this scene. And as I want you to pay attention to the things the shepherds did, the verbs, the active things that the shepherds did in response to the message. And also, as we go through, think of what does this make me think, you know, feel, or ask? And you parents can help your kids with that. So, let us consider the appropriate, proper response to the message of Christmas by considering the response of those who were eyewitnesses. We get an eyewitness account from the shepherds of this great angelic announcement and the manger scene as described by Luke. It's worthy to note, too, that isn't it amazing that God chose to reveal himself to the lowly and humble again, isn't it? We've seen that as a common theme. God chooses to reveal his majesty to those who are humble to receive it. The high and mighty just miss it. Those who are lowly, of lowly estate, like we saw Elizabeth and Zechariah in their the birth of John the Baptist, the angels appeared there. Mary, the angel appeared. And here again, for the third time in the opening chapter of 2 of Luke, we have this angelic visitation to the lowly of the earth, which I think is quite remarkable in that the gospel had been written to a high-ranking official, Theophilus, a Roman official, gave him food for thought. So let's look at this passage and see what we can glean, asking if we are celebrating Christmas the way the shepherds did. First thing I want to notice is only five aspects of this text. The shepherds, the recipients of this message, They realized that the message was real, relevant, and it needed a response. Verse 18. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." That must have been a sight just to see the angels going away into heaven. Remember, they had just had this tremendous, not just, at first just one angel appeared to them. That was scary enough. And they were filled with fear at one angel. And the angel said, "Fear not. Do not be afraid." And gave the message. And after that message was given, a whole host of heavenly beings showed up. And the glory of the Lord shone on earth. And they gave their message. And then they went away to heaven. Could you imagine just being one of those shepherds? What just happened? And they realized that the message that they had just heard was it was real. And it was relevant, and it required an urgent response. And we know that because they began to confer with one another. The text says they said to one another. And it's that sense that they continued to confer with one another. And they unanimously agreed that what had just happened was so profound and real that they all, it was, sometimes when things like that happen, the sense is, "Yeah, I didn't see anything. You're seeing things." No, they all saw it. So they had this shared experience that this was real and it was relevant and they needed to do something about it. They did not doubt what the angel said. It says in the text, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." They weren't saying, should we go and check out if it's really true? Probably not. But let's at least, we should check this out. That's not the sense of the text. "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." It was real. There was no reason for them to doubt what the angel said had actually happened. They believed it. They had faith already in the revelation of God, which they knew was from God himself. The text says, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." See, they knew that these angels, they were messengers of the Lord God. This wasn't just a freak thing happening. So they did not doubt the thing had happened. They knew it was a heaven-sent message through the medium of angels. And we just have to come to terms with that. God created angelic beings. It's part of his creation. And they're primarily messengers. And at times in the word of God, God would often use angels to reveal his message through his messengers. "Let us go over and see this thing." What thing? What thing are they going to go and see? Well, we see that back in the text we read earlier in verses 10 through 11 and 12. Go back to Luke 2, verse 10. "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" That was the thing they wanted to go and see. They wanted to see this baby who had been born in the city of Bethlehem that would be wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. But they didn't just want to see the baby because it was a nice cute baby, but because they had just been told by revelation from heaven that that baby who is wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, was a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And it occupied their mind. It was a clear message from heaven, and there was to be a clear sign to prove the message was right, and a clear purpose of his coming. And the purpose of his coming was salvation. And through that, the glory of God in the highest would be on display. The glory of God is that is seen at its zenith point with the redemption of sinful sinners, isn't it? That's where his glory is manifested. When he redeems those with whom he is what? Well pleased, the text says in Luke. Glory to God in the highest, that multitude said, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Well, how could he possibly be pleased with anyone? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to what? Please God. But he is a rewarder of those who seek him, right? Who have faith in him, who believe that he exists. There's an element of faith assumed in this. The ones who are with whom he is well pleased are those who will come by faith and belief in him. That is how he is pleased. Not with us in essence, but with our response, which in itself is a gift of God, isn't it? That many of us here today can say, I have just celebrated, and I'm celebrating Christmas the way it ought to be celebrated. It's about Christ. So the first thing that we can learn from this Christmas message is that it's real. It's relevant. And it requires an urgent response. It's not one to be put aside as a later thing to deal with. Which moves on to our second response of these recipients of this message. In verse 16, it says, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So the second is that they acted diligently upon what they had been told. It required a response. They knew that. But they actually did something with it. You know, so often we can know that we should respond, but we don't do anything. We find an excuse or a reason not to do anything upon that which we know requires action. They acted diligently. By what? They went with what? With haste. They upped and went. They did not dilly-dally or make excuses to go at another time. It became their priority. Now, these were shepherds. They had a job to do. They were tending their flock. They were watchful. They were at night. They were watching their sheep. Very responsible job. And the indication is that they all went up and left them, isn't it? Looks like they were just up and off and looking after the. They had something more important to deal with than just stay and look after their sheep. Everything else became secondary. When God reveals himself in the way he did in this way, they recognized that everything else for the moment was secondary to acting upon the revelation of the message that they had just heard. And the text says that they went with haste, and then what? They found. And it doesn't imply that they just went and by some, like the wise men were given a star. It doesn't indicate that they just went and just, oh, here he is, found him easily. There's a sense of they had to search and find. It wasn't just, oh, there he is over there. That was easy. The sense is that they had to go into Bethlehem and search and inquire and peek around and ask until they came to the place where they found exactly what the messengers had told them they would find. That must have been amazing, wasn't it? To be walking through those streets of Bethlehem, inquiring if anyone knew of a baby that had been born. And then being told, well, actually, yeah, there was a young lady who was about to give birth and we didn't have any room, so we gave them the stable. At the end there. Oh, okay. And then off they went and they peered in. The door creaks as they open it. And there they see exactly what the angels had told them. Isn't that amazing? And there it was, just as the angels had said. And they believed it because they had said, let us go to see this thing that has been made known to us. And they searched until they found. And it's probably not an easy search. The text said in Isaiah, there's a 55:6, call on the Lord while he is near, seek him while he may be found. Well, it's a paraphrase, but Isaiah 55:6, like, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. There's this sense of urgency acting upon the message that they had. And the sense is that this was a genuine search, and it led them to what? It led them to Christ. They came to Christ. They came to the Christ child. And they knew, I'm sure more than anything, that they had been drawn by him. They were compelled. They had to drop everything and go and find this child, this Christ child. And they found him and they came to him. So we have these two, they realized the message was real and relevant and required a response. They acted upon what they knew. We must do that too. I mean, this is what the shepherds did. What we're saying is, did they teach us anything? Yeah, we must realize this is a real message. And we must act upon the message. We don't just be passive and do nothing. They went with haste. They pursued the reality of the message so they could own it and possess it for themselves, which leads into the third way in which they celebrated that first Christmas, verse 17. And when they saw it, that is the thing that they had come to see, that child wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger, what did they do? They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They bore witness about Christ. They made known to those who were there the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They kept with the revelation message. The message that they had heard from the angels, they passed it on. They didn't change it. They didn't alter it. They passed on the same message. And the message was, the angel said, we bring you good news, or I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. They told the people there, including Mary and Joseph and anyone else who was there, that we have just heard the angels from heaven tell us what this is all about concerning this child. I was thinking, they even told Mary and Joseph that. Now, we know that Mary and Joseph had already had angelic visitation, and they knew what was going on. There's no indication that the shepherds knew what Mary and Joseph knew, is there? You'd imagine Mary and Joseph knowing that they were going to have the Christ child, but the scene in that humble, lowly state wouldn't have seemed very impressive to them. Did they need that angelic revelation or that visit from the shepherds? No. They had heard directly from God himself through the angels. But could you imagine Mary and Joseph all of a sudden being joined by these sweaty, smelly shepherds and coming in and paying homage to this little baby and saying, we just had the angels from heaven tell us who this child is. Affirmation. Not that they needed it, but what a blessing. That this was the most amazing, amazing event ever to happen on the planet. That God himself, the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer, the provider, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, had become man. God became one of us. A Savior. Purposefully. Christ, the anointed, sent one of God. Lord. Lord of lords. King of kings. Creator himself. Dwelling amongst mankind. Imagine the impact of their witness to Mary and Joseph. And they kept the main thing the main thing. They weren't focusing on the glory of the angels, as great as that was. They spoke concerning the child, didn't they? Christ was the central issue of their witness. And look at the effect of their witness. In verse 18, it says, "And all who heard it," that is, all who heard them make it known what had been told them concerning this child, "those who heard it," what did they do? They wondered at what the shepherds told them. The sense isn't they wondered if it were true or not. No, they marveled at it. They were astounded by it. They were amazed by it. They were bewildered by it. It wasn't a doubtful wondering. And it says all, which implies not just Mary and Joseph, but whoever else was in the vicinity, which means that others may have been gathering. We're not sure how many, but however many there were, all of them wondered at this remarkable testimony, this witness of these shepherds. So far we have what? We have these shepherds, and we're lining us. How have we celebrated Christmas so far? They realize the message is real and it's relevant and it needs an urgent response. They acted upon this revelation, not a passive. And once they received the revelation, they bore witness to others about the revelation. Is that not what we do when we come to Christ? You have come to a point in your life, whenever it was, when you actually knew, you just knew by the Spirit of God that this is real. This is relevant. I can't just ignore it and put it away in a box and say I'll deal with it next year. It requires a response which is urgent and immediate and radical. We have to go and in a way seek and find the Christ, knowing we're being drawn to him. And once we see the child for who he is, and we believe that he is indeed Savior, Christ, Lord, what do? We tell others about him, don't we? We want to make known the sayings concerning this child. We ought to. We ought to take every opportunity to make the sayings about this child known. Because when we do effectively and with a passion and with someone that says, I really believe this, people may wonder at it, right? So let me ask you a question. When you share Christ with people, in whatever way you choose, do you share it, first of all, from your heart that it's absolutely real and relevant and number one thing in your life? Is it really who you are? And when you share Christ, if you do, is it enthusiastic? Is it in a way, not just enthusiastic for the sense of enthusiasm, but is it conveyed in a way that those who are listening would at least have a chance to wonder at what you're saying? Or is it just a boring sharing? We have the witness of Christ in our heart to share with. Yes, we know it's difficult, don't we? We know that for the most part, we'll get shot down in flames. Or at least attempt it. And we'll get put aside. And for that reason, oftentimes we don't even bother, do we? I've fallen into that trap myself many times. Oh, I'm just not going to go there because I know it's not going to be received. And yet at Christmas time, we do have more opportunity, don't we? To at least go there. And yet what we're saying here is the way we celebrate Christmas is the way we ought to celebrate Christ. Because the message we have is for all people. And it's good news, or great news, or good news of great joy for all people. And we are to witness about it with enthusiasm and conviction that what we have is a message that is real and relevant, not just for us, but for all people of the world. There's people who heard it. It doesn't imply that they thought the shepherds were crazy, but they were wondering whether this child in front of them was in fact Savior, Christ, and Lord. Isn't that the hope of your witness for Christ? That when you talk to someone about Jesus Christ, you know you can't change them, right? You know you cannot convert anyone. But our testimony, your testimony of saving faith in Christ can cause a lost soul to wonder, to consider, to marvel whether this child is who he said he was. The power of an effective testimony we should not underestimate, and it requires courage and boldness, doesn't it? And these lowly shepherds, they didn't care. They just bore witness to what they had seen. They couldn't do anything less. So we must realize it is real, relevant, needs a response. We must act upon the revelation of Christ. We must witness about Christ. And then we shift to Mary in verse 19, the fourth point. Verse 19, all the other people are wondering, but they're amazed, bewildered, probably just you can see it in their disposition that something's happening. But Mary, who we know just born the child, she just born the Savior, birthed the Savior. She had had the angelic revelation. 9 months she had been carrying this child. Her soul magnified the Lord. Her spirit was rejoicing in God, her Savior. What did she do when she heard this witness of these shepherds? She, Mary, treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She treasured them and pondered all the things that the shepherds had just told them. She stored up. The treasure means we store up that which was valuable to us. That's what we do. When we treasure something, we take that which is valuable and we store it up. And the word pondering has a sense of spreading out and evaluating everything that has been said or what we have. So there's a sense of meditation, really, isn't it? It's deep reflection on what has been told. She meditated upon what she knew about the Christ, what she had been told, and what had been affirmed by the angels. And our treasuring and our pondering and meditating upon Christ will lead us where? It will lead us to the cross, won't it? When we consider the things of Christmas and the story of Christmas, it must cause us to treasure and ponder and lead us to the cross. The songs we've sung today, they were of the cross. They were of the Christ of the cross. We must reflect upon the truths of Christ often, mustn't we? This is part of our Christmas celebration. We must realize it's real, relevant, needs a response. We must act upon it. We must search and find him. And when we come to Christ, we must be those who bear witness to Christ. And we must always be in an ongoing state of deep reflection upon the truths of Christ. Mary did that. It must have been amazing. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And lastly, this last element of the shepherd's response to the revelation is this. And the shepherds, verse 20, returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The last section of this is these shepherds, they were transformed and they became worshippers of God, didn't they? These shepherds weren't the same shepherds that returned. They went back. They had left their flocks for a higher priority at the time. They came back, returned to where they had left, transformed. Because when they went back, what were they doing? They were praising or glorifying and praising God. Why? For all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They had become worshippers of the living God because they had seen the Christ child and they had believed that that child was in fact the Savior, the Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth. And there is no sense in the text, even though we don't know what happened to these shepherds, they're kind of gone now because then the birth scene is over. But there's no sense in the text that they forgot what they had heard and seen a few weeks later. They didn't get over it. There's no reason to think that they kind of, oh, that was amazing couple of weeks. Wow. And then they said, oh, well, let's get back to the nitty-gritty of life, the drudgery of shepherding and family and stuff that comes, which causes us to kind of let things fade away. Isn't that amazing that we can allow the glories of Christ to actually fade away from our lives? Some of you are here today and you may recall a time in your life when you were on fire for Christ. And all you wanted to do was witness about him or reflect deeply upon him, which you did through the word of God and by being involved in the church ministries and seeking opportunity to identify with Christ wherever you went, because that was your drive. That's who we are. And yet that joy that you knew was real and relevant and urgent and was meant to be ongoing, it's like, where's it gone? I don't really think of talking much about Jesus anymore to anyone. It's not like a big deal. I think we've all been like that in some sense. Some of you just have the gift of evangelism. Or witness that boldness, and you cannot not tell people. But even you may be quite aggressive today, but you may say, well, but I'm not as aggressive as I used to be. I still may be witnessing for Christ more than others, but compared to what I used to be like, it's kind of tapered off and faded away. Well, maybe this past Christmas, which is a good guideline, you may be saying, wow, Christmas didn't mean much to me this year. Spiritually, I found myself enjoying the worldly stuff 10 times better than the spiritual stuff. What happened? You've allowed other things to crowd out the meaning of Christmas. And if we have found that this Christmas has come and gone and it's kind of like, oh well, it's Christmas again, then that might be indicative of the fact that your way that you celebrate Christ is fading. Just a thought, but one that I ask myself as a Christian, is he everything? We said that last song, I am what? Nothing. Nothing without you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are nothing without Christ? But in Christ, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This is why we as Christians have a chance to redeem Christmas and put the Christ back into Xmas. And that means that we have Xmas and Christmas. Let's put the Christ back in Xmas, right? And let's not wait until Christmas to try that. Let's use the whole year to be burning for Christ so that when Christmas comes, we're just ready. We're just rolling anyway. That's who we are after all. So how has the message of Christmas been received in your heart and mind and soul? Yes, even this year, because you've heard it again. Has its transforming power made its way into the very core of your being? Have you followed the story from the cradle to the cross where he died? A sinner's death. For he came to save sinners. That's why he was called Jesus. You will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. Do you acknowledge your need for a savior? Do you acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, sent to dwell among men? And do you believe he is Lord? Which means he is to be received as Savior and Lord, right? Lord of our lives. Surrendering to him. As Christmas fades away, are you confident today that your life in Christ will not fade away, but you'll continue to be transformed by its power, and you will return to wherever you're going? You guys are going back to college. Will you and back to their services? Will you return glorifying and praising God for what you have seen and what you have heard? This is the way to celebrate Christmas. Perhaps you're here today and you have not really realized it's real and it's relevant. And it requires a response. You've never acted upon the message before. You've heard it lots of times. But you've never really acted. You've never really searched and found Christ. You've got lost in all the other religiosity stuff that happens. But you've never found Christ. So you've never come to Christ. And you've never really wondered at it all. You've never really wondered at what has been made known to you. It hasn't really amazed you or bewildered you. It hasn't caused you to ask any deep questions. So you've never really thought or treasured much about Christ or pondered these things. They're not there to even treasure and reflect upon. So there's no deep thought about him. And so naturally you're not a worshiper. You don't know what it is to worship and praise and glorify the God of heaven who sent his son. You just don't know. Well, if that is where you are today, then you have not celebrated Christmas the way it should be celebrated. Christmas is to be celebrated for the birth of the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Everything else the world does is excess fluff, trimmings, trappings, packaging. May we be a people as one who never tire of hearing the good news of Christ every day, who always see the big picture of what God has done in redeeming mankind through his son. We will always be ready to bear witness about Christ, making the things known that we have been revealed to, reflecting on Christ, meditating upon Christ, so that we will be genuine, transformed worshippers of Christ who can truly see our lives glorify and praise God. For those of you who have worshipped Christ in your life, not just at Christmas, but he is your Savior, he is the Christ, he is your Lord, because you've seen your sin nailed to the cross on his body. He died for your sin. That is what this supper is about. We have the Lord's Supper before us, which is an appropriate response to those who have this type of experience with Christ. It's for believers. It is a table of grace that the Lord Jesus Christ has invited us to himself. I'm going to invite you, as a continuation of the Word of God, to respond. This is a response to what I've just preached on. It's for those who can say, amen, my soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. I'm with the shepherds. I'm with Mary. I'm a worshiper of Christ. And this table is for you if you've come to receive the pardoning forgiveness of Christ.